Yes, today I'm joined by Big Three editor Oliver Maroney. What's going on, Oliver?
Not much, man. Not much. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it. Enjoying how the season's shaping up, and just having a good time, man. Having a good time.
Yeah, man. The Big Three season four is about to begin. It's only getting bigger. Emmy Panels has been able to cover the Big Three through its first three seasons to some capacity. I covered the first season when it came to Wells Fargo, the championship at Barclays. Shout out to Nancy Lieberman and Power. That was crazy at that press conference. They were so loud and into the wind. It was crazy in there. It was crazy.
I love them. I love them. I love Nancy. I love that team. You know, Corey Maggette, Q Rich, Katino Mobley. You know, that's a special team, and they certainly deserve a lot of respect and credit for the way that the league has moved. You know, I think when you look at the way that they took what was in season one to what they did in season two, I think it's something that is definitely to behold and look at, you know, as moving the needle forward for this league and for these players. And I think the way that she, Nancy Lieberman, operates is just, I think it is something to be just like watch in and of itself. I love what she does. I just love how she operates and how she's gotten the most out of all of her guys and really taking things seriously.
Yeah, came into the league, coach of the year. Crazy, let her team get a championship. Shout out to Nancy Lieberman. So, like I said, this is the second time you've been on the NBA panel. First time you're doing a Big Three podcast. First of all, congratulations for your for officially joining. So what about the Big Three caught your eye and what draws you to it? What about it is different to you?
Well, I mean, you talk about, first of all, you can't have a conversation about Big Three without having a conversation about the two co-founders of the league. And, you know, they innovated this, they built it, they put it together. And those two are Jeff Gwatnitz and Ice Cube.
Yes.
Both of whom I had looked at in very high regards just based on their business acumen, how they approach things, how they do business, how they've created things. And most importantly, I think when you look at something like this, you look at the people at the top. You know, how do they treat people? Right. How do they move? And I think you look at, you know, any business that you're looking into, you look at the people at the top and you say, hey, I could work for those dudes. I can believe in what they're standing for. I can believe in what they're doing. And with the Big Three, you know, with the mental health policy we have, you know, with the everybody created equal, just all the different things that we have that are not groundbreaking, but I would say that they're changing the way we look at sports. And I think, to me, I believe in all that. I stand for all that. And I stand for, you know, what Ice Cube and Jeff do. And for that reason, that was a really big reason why I moved over here. And, you know, I love both of them. I love the Big Three family. I mean, to be honest with you, I've traveled with them for three summers in some capacity. And it's been something where, you know, every season after it's over, I look at it and I say, like, man, that's like my second family, you know, like I know those people more than I do, you know, a lot of like my brother or, you know, family members or things like that. And so for me, it's home. I enjoy it. I love what I do. I love working for a league that's innovating and trying to change narratives and trying to push what I think is the right way of doing things. And so for that reason, it was a no brainer. And I think, for me personally, it's a dream. I love doing what I do, and I love working for these guys, and seeing them work is just as rewarding, really, to see this thing grow and to see them put things together and how their minds work. It's just, it's different. I you know, you can't really fully pinpoint or explain exactly how everything comes together the way it does and how they put things into place, but all I know is every time they do something, it just seems to work out and seems to be successful. And you've seen that throughout Cube's career. You've seen that throughout Jeff's career. And so for that reason, it's you know, it, like I said, it's a dream. It's something that I love doing, and I love this league. And I think everybody that you talk to that's involved in the league loves it. That's why they're here. We're passionate. We love doing what we do, and we believe in everything that we're doing. And that's very rare. Whether you're a sports league, whether you're a business, whether it doesn't matter, you know, it's very rare that everybody is kind of on the same page and moving at the same trajectory. And that's something that I just find special and unique and different, that really I'm just blessed to be a part of it.
Right. Every year I've covered the Big Three, I've noticed that the fan experience just gets better and better and better. What do you guys, how much work goes into you guys planning for the fan experience for when the fans come out?
I mean, it's built for the fans, right? I mean, the reason Ice Cube decided to have to bring the fire rule implemented and Jeff to add that rule in or that new wrinkle is to bring more excitement, to bring more entertainment. The reason we opted to do, you know, six games in one city and have them all in one city each weekend is to bring the fans more entertainment, to bring the fans an all-day festival-like experience, something that you'll never forget. And I think, you know, when you just listen to what Jeff and Cube speak on, you know, that's what they're here for. They're here for the fans. This is what this league is built on. It's built on fan support. And, you know, in the same vein, we hope to see it come back to us. You know, fans, hopefully by word of mouth or through social media, say that they love it as well. And they'll want to come out again, and they want to bring their families and their kids. And, you know, to me, it's the most vital part of our business, and it's the most vital part of making this thing work for the long term and the short term. And so, you know, we want what the fans want. We want them to be excited. We want them to be satisfied with the product that we're putting on the court. And that's why you see the changes that we make every single year is because we're trying to make it better.
Evolution.
And we listen to everybody. That's part of the deal. You know, Cube responds to people when they put out ideas. He will, you know, put out what he thinks is best, and he'll listen to others. And, you know, I think that's something that every leader or owner or founder has to do. And they know the pulse, they know what's going on, and they know what they need to do to make this thing work for everyone. And, you know, the fans are number one in this situation.
Yes. And the schedule is, I believe, the schedule is scheduled to release tomorrow where the season four is going to be played. But you guys announced that the 2020 tryouts, the dates for that were announced earlier today. That's going to bring a lot of excitement. A lot of people are going to try and make the combine and make the Big Three. How big of a turnout do you expect you think you're going to get in Los Angeles?
I think we'll have a huge turn. I mean, the combine every year has grown, and that's part of the reason we decided to open up the tryouts, because we had people that were interested in playing.
Right.
And since they didn't have professional experience or, you know, they didn't meet the requirements at the time, we tried to open it up as to as many people as possible.
Right.
Now, does that mean everybody's going to get a Big Three contract? Absolutely not. You know, I think, you look at it, this is a professional league, and I think that's part of the reason we did it too, is because there's a lot of people out there who feel like these guys either can't play or I've heard the retired league over and over, and I think that stigma needs to be removed, and this is how we do it. Right. You know, this is one way of getting to that point. So, you know, if you think you got what it takes, show us. That's what we're trying to let you the fans do and let people do. And so the tryouts are going to open up doors for people. I'm really excited to see who comes out, who shows out. And I fully expect there to be some guys, some diamonds in the rough that make it. You know, that's the goal. We want people to make it. This would make it exciting. It would make it interesting. Once again, going back to the fans, we want people to feel like, you know, if they're the best at what they do, they should be rewarded for it. And that's how the league is always operated. So for us to do this, we're reaching out to more people and trying to make this the best competition we can possibly get while making it the most exciting and entertaining league that you can see.
Yeah, and you guys lowering the minimum age to 22 is definitely going to stop to talk about its retirement league. As younger players going to get into the league, like you said, a diamond in the rough probably is going to make the league, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how many people actually join and see how many, you know, younger guys sign up. I think really the goal here, like I said, is to present the best possible product that we possibly can.
Right.
And we know how to do the rest. We know how to entertain people. We know how to build fans and get them out to games. I think people will want to come, especially with some of the new rules that we've implemented.
Right.
And obviously with the city announcements coming tomorrow, I'm sure people will be excited to see what comes out. And, you know, the hope really is to just continue to build on what we've done and make it better every single year that we're doing this.
Yeah, a couple of your rules really stand out. One, bring the fire. That's going to get the fans hype. That's going to be – I like that. I like the rule you implemented.
I'm all on board. I mean, people have been asking for it for years. I mean, it's like – you never ever, I mean, until this weekend probably, and All-Star weekend, and since the Big Three kind of started, you really haven't gotten to see a lot of isolation, one-on-one, best mano-a-mano, like best man versus best man on both teams go at it.
Right.
And this gives us an opportunity to see, you know, and let's just say a Nate Robinson versus Mahmoud, or Nate Robinson, I'm going to throw out other guys, Frank Nitti and Nate Robinson, or...
Right.
You know, heck, even throw – I think it'd be entertaining to watch a Big Baby versus Eddie Curry or something like that. Throw out the big men.
Right.
But I think, you know, it brings us back to – you know, I think there's a difference between basketball and basketball culture. And to me, one-on-one, isolation, playing for the bucket, playing for the basket – you know, really having that street ball kind of feel.
Right.
That's basketball culture. And to me, that's what we want. We want that to be the premise of how we do things. You know, I think when you watch how the games are played,
right,
you think about it like you're kind of in a park just with, you know, superstars and all-stars and very high level players. And I think that's what you're going to see, you know, this year, and even more specifically when you see these Bring the Fire challenges implemented.
Right.
I think you're just going to see it even more. And I, you know, I hope that, you know, it's entertaining and exciting for the fans just as much as it is myself just thinking about it.
Yeah. I think Bring the Fire will be fun in the beginning of the season, but toward the playoffs, when the playoffs are about to start, I think coaches will start using those exactly when they need them. Because, you know, that could be the difference between winning and losing. So we'll see how that we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it should be interesting. That'll be an interesting wrinkle into the game, and I'm excited to see how people use it. Like the coaches' challenges in you know, you see it in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which we implemented initially. You know, it's similar to that. You know, you got to be smart and you got to be wise about how you use them.
Yeah.
And I think coaches, at least in our league, know that that's a possibility and have been doing it. Now it's just, hey, who was matched up against who on that play? Because
right.
That's who's going up one-on-one.
Right.
So if I got Nate Robinson on Eddie Curry, give me a shot, man. I'll take Nate Robinson. He's going to be able to find a way to get a bucket.
Right.
But, you know, that adds to the intrigue. It's all part of the game. And I think, like I said, when we look at it from afar, I think you separate basketball and basketball culture. And this is a culture thing. This is for the culture. This is for the people who grew up hooping in their street, grew up watching some of these guys play, and want to see the best half-court basketball that you can possibly see.
Yeah, and Steven Jackson suggested that for the NBA because their game ended with a tie. Well, not ended on a free throw. I'm sorry. The All-Star game ended on a free throw, and he suggested that for the NBA.
Yeah, he did. I saw that, and you know, I'm sure he knows where he got that that idea from.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, it's cool, man. You know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, and I think that, you know, you've seen it for the past 3 to 4 years, just
right.
Of, you know, rules that have been changed, rules that have been implemented, that the NBA has kind of taken from us, whether that be whatever it may be, you know, whether it's the one shot free throws, 14 second shot clock, you know, the 4-point circles that we implemented, and now they have them in the 3-point contest, and they're calling them something else to try and make it their own thing.
Right.
It just, it goes on and on. And I think, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we know that we're doing something right if they're pulling things from us, but it would be nice to get credit on some of those things when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Another change you guys made, all athletes welcome. That's going to really open the floodgates for more people to try out, because now you can have football players. And that brought up an idea to my head, could have like a Chad Johnson and Joe Johnson backcourt. I mean, I ran that by Ice Cube when I was on a conference call. He started laughing. He said, "We never know." How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm on board. I mean, Terrell Owens wanted to join in a few years ago, so here's his chance. You know, he can hoop. Yeah. We've seen it happen. There's a lot of two-sport athletes. I mean, we had Bobby Wagner out in Seattle in season one,
right,
and he could shoot. And I'm not saying he would do it, but I'm saying, you know, there's guys out there that play two sports all the time.
Definitely. I can't wait for these tryouts. There's going to be a lot of players come out, a lot. One player that came onto the scene and just took over, Joe Johnson. Speak on his impact. He just came in, got MVP, just torched the league, essentially. Just people, fans were on their seat to see him. Speak on his impact on the big three.
I mean, Joe is special. Joe takes care of his body like almost no other player that I've seen. He works on his game inside and out constantly. What he did for himself and the league,
right,
is immense. You look at just the stats he put up, not only that, but the game winners and the way it happened. I mean, I continually go back to Milwaukee triplets versus three-headed monsters. Triplets are at 46, three-headed monsters are at 48. And Joe Johnson's dribbling against Mahmoud. He's on the three-point line. And he backed up a good, like, 4 to 6 feet and landed on the four-point circle. He knew exactly where he was going to shoot it from. He
right.
knew that that was going to ice the game. And that's what's so special about him. His mindset isn't, you know, we can get 2 points here. We can get an easy bucket.
Right.
His mindset is, how do I win this game? And I love it. You know,
right,
that sort of attitude, that mentality, you just don't, you know, you talk about, and rest in peace, like Kobe Bryant and that sort of mentality.
Yes.
That Joe Johnson has a lot of that, and he won't say it. He's not going to come out. The thing about Joe is he's like one of the most humble dudes that
right.
I've ever come across, and he won't ever say it, but in his heart and, you know, in his mind, he believes that he's the best player on the floor anytime he goes out there. And that's the way he plays. That's the way he operates. And it's great to see, because it's special. It's just special. He's a special player. Like
right.
NBA, Big Three, doesn't matter what it is. USA basketball, I could care less.
Yes.
I think put him in a one-on-one situation against anybody and he has a shot. And you know that he's going to take it to the cleaners against a lot of these guys. And I think that is what's so special about him. But just watching him, I mean, I'm jaw dropped, like, on some of the things he does. Like that step back four,
yeah,
I just will run through my mind over and over and over again. And, you know, you ask him after the fact and he says, yeah, that was what I was, that all was planned out. I had that in my mind. I wasn't stupid. You know, I wasn't trying to jack up a four just to jack up one.
Right.
This is going to win the game. And even if I've got Mahmoud standing there with his hand in my face, I can get up a shot. And that's the other part. Physically, Joe is so big
yeah.
that he can go up against the like a lot of guards and a lot of forwards easily. And his length allows him to operate differently than a lot of other guys. I mean, I kind of compare him to like what people look at in Kevin Durant in the NBA.
Right.
Just because when he gets a shot off, you have to be on top of him in order to get that ball, because he's got a great release. He knows when to put it out, and he creates separation on most every shot because he's stronger and he's taller and physically just more gifted than a lot of guys in the league. So I just find him, you know, he's just special. He's different. Haven't seen a player like him ever. And that doesn't mean he's better than everybody I've ever seen.
Right.
But he's just a very unique, gifted player, and it's fun to watch.
Right. Amy Trask, She commands the room when she walks into it. How is it being around her personality? Because I remember covering...
And high.
Yeah, and high. I forgot that.
And high. Ice cream, high. Those are the two things that come to mind when I think of Amy, because I see her on Twitter a lot. Once again, somebody who is very innovative, thoughtful, smart, unique. Just, once again, this goes back to the whole big three model here, which I'm just happy to be a part of, and I would never put myself in these conversations. But Amy, Jeff, Cube, it goes down to like some of the coaches, some of the players, you know, your Nancy Liebermans. I could go down the list. Yeah. I mean, Thomas Scott, Clyde, all these people are special and they're here for a reason. They believe in what's going on.
Right.
They've done stuff in the past that has led them to this point. And Amy is no different in that aspect. Right. She is special. She's a creative genius. She understands things that most other people would not. And then on top of that, I think what's cool about her is she's really not afraid to speak up about certain topics. And she commands the room, as you mentioned, when she walks in. I mean, I recall in season two, and you talked about it earlier, Power winning the championship.
Yeah.
And I remember
she walked in the room. She walked to the press conference.
And she started asking questions. She said, Amy Trask with Big Baby News.
Yeah.
And she was making a joke at Glenn. And I think the remark was something along the lines
Does this mean women can coach? Yes.
And she's saying it obviously as a joking manner because Nancy Lieberman had just won the award. But to me, that's Amy. She is so gifted at a lot of different things. And she's done this for a very long time with the Oakland Raiders, has tons of experience. But I think in this aspect, you know, once again, Ice Cube, music, film, whatever it is, successful. Amy Trask, football, CEO, the grind. She understands like starting down here and climbing her way to the top and getting there, and not only getting there, but making a splash, knowing what she needs to do to get things done. And I think that's what, you know, obviously to me, I admire most about Amy is her ability in an era to, you know, separate herself from everyone else and not only stand out, but stand out in a positive light, in a positive way. You talk to anybody anywhere and you ask them, Amy Trask, what do you think of her? There is not one negative remark from anyone I can possibly think of.
Right.
And that tells like everything you need to know about who she is as a person, who she is as a chairman on our board.
Right.
She is special and she sees things that nobody else sees. I mean, there's been times where we're putting out an announcement or we're doing this or we're doing that, and you will notice, Amy will notice something that nobody else noticed. And we're all like, well, wait a second. This is great. You know, I didn't even think about that. Or and that to me is what makes it so special. But I could go on about Amy for a while, but she is something that, I think that there's a reason she's here. There's a reason she's a part of this. And I really, really look up to her, admire what she's done and how she's done it.
Right. And the Big Three has also taken the lead on showing other sports networks and sports that women coming coaches can coach, with Nancy Lieberman, as we spoke on already, and Lisa Leslie. Can you speak on how the Big Three is taking the lead in that aspect?
I mean, to me, I don't even think it's really, I don't mean to be rude, but to me, it shouldn't even be a discussion. It should have never been a discussion.
Right.
But the fact that our league is the one that's doing this and making this happen is important to me. That's part of the reason, like I said, you know, when you talk about innovations and you talk about doing things the right way, that to me is doing things the right way.
Right.
Operating as if gender, race, you know, religion, whatever the case may be, wipe it all out.
Right.
Who are you, the best coach? Okay, then that's what we're going to bring in. And that's how we operate. That's how we want to operate. Ultimately, that's how every business should operate. And to me, that's something that I look to and say, I admire and applaud doing that. And so, like I said, for me, even joining the league, that's part of the reason I love it, you know, to be able to see people for who they are and to be able to not discriminate against anything is important. And it should be, I mean, to me, it's just such a no-brainer. And we talk about, like, football, the Rooney Rule, like how much of a, you know, kind of a joke it is, to be honest. I mean, you look at some of these coaches that have come through for interviews and you sit there and you say, one is clearly, in our opinions, in the public eye, a better coach than the other. But because he's, you know, a different race or he's, you know, they're a different gender, they don't get the opportunity. And I mean, to me, that it speaks volumes about the league. It speaks volumes about, just about who we are. But I mean, ultimately, it shouldn't even be a discussion. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. And it's frustrating to be having this conversation, you know what I mean? Because it's so obvious that this shouldn't. No hard feelings towards you and nothing at all. It's unfortunate we have to have these conversations to get the point across, because to me it's very obvious and clear. We've had two women coaches, both have won Coach of the Year, both have won championships, and neither team, neither any player on any of those teams have never mentioned once them being female or anything. And that to me is what is important, and I think something that people should take note of and watch for.
Yeah, that's why I brought up that subject, because other leagues are talking about it and you're doing it. That's why I brought it up. And I applaud that. I love that. I love that. Also, you guys are implementing a red ball, the fireball, separating the league in another way. How do you think that's going to
happen? Fireball 3. Yeah, Fireball 3. I mean, we're separating ourselves. That's the whole goal here. You know, look, I think when you look at the Big Three and the evolution of it, people have started to take notice of the rules that we've made and the changes that we've made. And it's not really traditional basketball anymore. It isn't. And we talked about it. You know, there's tons of rule changes. We have 4-point shots, you know, first to 50, win by 2. I can go down the list of different things. But to us, we believe that it deserves separation. And I think separating ourselves from other sports and other leagues that are associated with basketball is something that we should be doing, because ultimately this game is much different than anything anybody's ever seen before. And so that's why we've done it. And the ball change obviously goes along with that.
Right.
And, you know, for us, we want to make a mark. And, you know, this is a part of making that mark. This is a part of creating the game for the long term. Building our own fans, Fireball 3 fans, people who can get behind some of the rule changes that we've made to a traditional game.
Oliver, when you were doing the Big Three podcast, how long did it take you to know that you would wanted to be a part of the Big Three to the point where you are right now? Because when you were first on the NBA panel, I could tell how into it you were. Because I could just tell you were really genuine in everything you were saying, and you had a vibe like you really wanted to do that.
I mean, look, I've covered basketball for a long time. You know, I grew up loving this sport. I was never good enough to play, so the next best thing was to cover it. And you know, I had covered NBA stuff for a long time. I had covered high school basketball, college basketball, the whole nine, NCAA tournaments, NBA All-Star games, finals, whatever. And, you know, when I first spoke with Jeff and Cube, before they had even announced that this was going to be a league, both of them spoke. It almost felt like they were speaking to me. For personally, about their thoughts on why they were doing this and why it made sense. And all of these obviously were questions that I was asking them for a story I was doing. But going through that story and just like seeing how they operated, seeing what they'd done, you know, doing the research, understanding who they are, understanding what they were, their goal was in this whole thing, made me realize very quickly that if given the opportunity at some point, that I would jump at a chance to do this.
Right.
This is just different, you know, and to me, that's when the initial kind of thought came into my mind. And then I cover the league, obviously, for three seasons. I helped them in any capacity I could.
Right.
I think for me personally, Jeff and Cube, from that initial conversation, just struck me as people who, as I mentioned earlier, are bosses that you are people,
right.
Managers, leaders, that lead in the way that I want to be led. Right. And that's by actions. That's by taking ownership and committing full-heartedly into something. And that right. just doesn't happen very often. And a lot of people just could care less. You know, I've worked with people in the past that will sit there on your story for 3 to 5 days, won't care about putting it out or okay. Having a time frame on things.
Right.
And so when you look at that aspect and then you look at the way that they operate, to me, that's how I move. I move in, this makes sense. Let's do it. How do we get there? And it's just a very seamless kind of process, and
gotcha.
It's fun to be a part of.
Gotcha.
But though, both those guys' personalities, I appreciate, and you know, it's something. Like I said, it's a dream. I enjoy. I wake up every day loving what I do, and I would never ever take that for granted or change that for anything, because I love this league. I love what it stands for, and ultimately, when you're working for something that morally and ethically you're aligned with,
right.
I think you're much better at doing what you do.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
where I'm at.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You love
I
what
mean,
you
it
do.
Is, look, how many people have you worked for, or, you know, even myself, I look at and I say, well, I don't really agree with, you know, your take on politics. I don't really agree with, you know, treating people like this or
right.
doing this or – it's just, it's rare. It's rare to find people who are very aligned in your thoughts and your thought processes. And to me, that's how, what I felt. I just felt
right.
like it was a natural fit. It was something that would work. And,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, I love that I can do what I feel good about doing. And, I don't know if there's any other way I can explain it.
I understand exactly what you mean. Like, you know you're in the right place. You can feel it. It just feels natural
exactly.
to you. It feels natural
exactly.
to you. So for the big three, like I said, is only getting bigger. Big four is going. Season four is going to be crazy. For any basketball fans in general that haven't checked out a big three game yet, what would you say to them? What are they? Tell them what they're missing.
I mean, you're missing. You're missing a lot. I mean, this is the entertainment of the century. This is it. As a sports fan, I like not only getting my bang for my buck,
right.
but I also like watching a lot of different styles. And in this, you get to see, you know, power, pass the ball into the post, pass it out, hit Q Rich for a three. You get to see ISO Joe in a one-on-one situations. You get to see, you know, other big name guys go at it. And it's hard nosed for the entire game. You're not seeing breaks.
Right.
It's funny because big three basketball, big three overall, you know, I think you look at it and you look at the crowds. Like go to each city. I go to each city. I see the crowds.
Right.
And in NBA games, I go into an NBA arena. You see people come in and out. You see people go grab their nachos, their popcorn, they're this or that.
Right.
They get back down, they go to the restroom, they go get their beer, they come back. This is, you know, that's part of entertainment. I get it. They're going to buy food. They're going to do that sort of thing.
Right.
But they don't really value much of the product. It's more of a social thing. And I'm not saying the big three isn't that. I'm just saying that rarely do I see thousands of people leave the arena at one time to go get food or
right.
drinks or things like that.
Right.
And come back. Because we keep them there because they want to
yes.
be there and they enjoy the product.
I can
that is That's what I'm saying here. You're getting a lot of bang for
your
buck. Yes,
I can attest to that because every game I've been to, and from seeing on TV, no fans get up during live play. They wait till the half is over, and then they get up and do what they got to do and come back. I rarely see any fans get up out of their seats unless it's on the floor. A player on the floor calls them to get out of their seat.
Exactly. And that's part of it is we got rabid fans. We got people who want to see this and they want to see more. And, you know, we've got players coming and going. They meet and greet with fans. They sign autographs. They're very gracious with their time.
Yes.
It's a fun experience for everybody, kids, adults, everybody of the like. We put on a show. Yes. And, you know, with this whole festival idea, this is what we've got. We've got an opportunity here where on a Saturday, hopefully in a city near you, you're going to get the opportunity to spend all day at the arena, around the arena, have a musical performance, some things like a street team and things like that to be able to enjoy throughout the day and bring your family along, bring the kids. It's just something fun. It's entertaining. It's different and it's unique. And we don't go everywhere. So when we're in your city, make sure you take advantage of it because that's part of the deal. We got 10 cities to go to. That's the schedule and that's what it'll be. So it's kind of a once in a lifetime experience for a lot of people. And I think it's definitely worth obviously the cost of admission. And it's just unique. Our product is great. It's a unique game. It's very different. And you get to see a ton of different styles. And for the nostalgic fans out there, you get a treat.
Yeah, and I've noticed some players come out, they warm up, and at the tunnel, there's a lot of people waiting to get autographs. They stop giving autographs. The Big Three is very interactive, and it's a good product. Because a lot of players won't have to do that. Some NBA players don't do that. We all know that. The Big Three, they take their time, make sure the fans are involved. That really goes a long way.
Exactly.
It definitely goes a long way. And I cannot wait for this Curls release tomorrow. I'll be waiting for it.
Hey, we're coming soon. They're
coming,
man.
Near me.
Be there tomorrow, man. Big news coming. Oh. We're excited. We're ready. We're amped. I'm excited. I want to see where we're going. And hopefully it's a city near you.
I'm going to make it. I'll be there. I'm going to try and mess with make it. Oliver, thank you so much for joining me, taking time out of your busy day. I know you're busy. You got things to work on for tomorrow's release. Thank you so much for your time and joining me again on the NBA panel. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me and covering the league, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon. Yes, that was Oliver Maroney, Big Three editor. It's great to have him back on the NBA panel. Can't wait for this Curls release tomorrow. Catch you next time.